Okay, all flight controllers, go, no go for landing. Retro.
Go,
I
don't go.
Titan, go.
GNC, go.
Econ,
go.
Control,
go.
Ninth Planet Audio.
Capcom, we're go for landing.
Welcome to Turek Books Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Joshua Turek. We're never going to read all the books we want, but when someone tells us about a book, that's its own valid form of experiencing it. Our guests come in to talk about the books that left lasting marks on them as readers, and that becomes a springboard to who they are, who I am, and maybe who all of us are. So sit back, relax, and enjoy it. And who knows, maybe you'll end up grabbing a book or two. Maybe you've read some of them and it's nice to hear someone else talk about them. We want this to be like a book club, but without the guilt. Well, you're listening to Turek Books. Today I'm joined by a guest I'm so grateful to have. We've known each other a long time. She's a comedian who travels the country, maybe even the world, Ally Makovsky.
Yay.
Yay.
It's me.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
There's a great platform for people to, I feel like, I don't know about other people, but I have a big insecurity that I'm a dummy, which might still be true, but it's nice to go on a podcast where I'm like, I know how to read. At the bare minimum,
flex.
I know how to read.
Flex.
I'm literate.
Well, that's what they're saying is like millennials, kids, the Gen Alpha, a lot of them don't know how to read now. Yeah.
This is like a big PR move for me.
Yeah. No, this is going
to... To all the people who say I can't read.
Uh-huh. Prove the haters wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In print. And it's going to bring you exposure to a whole new audience.
Mm-hmm.
People who also want to know how to read.
Some educated folks.
Yeah, educated folks. I mean, I think that's the goal with this one is like I'm not super educated, but I love reading. And so it's just kind of an every man's or every person's reading podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to be too pretentious with it.
You do have a book voice. I could see some narration in the future.
Oh God, that'd be the dream.
Yeah.
Just whatever keeps you from having to do too much, you know.
Mm.
I've never done podcasts, I've never done radio, but so you get in front of the microphone and because you've listened to so much radio, you sort of know how to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's good that you listen to a specific type of radio and not the kind where you start a podcast and you're like, whoa, today on the Turek Book Podcast.
Who's reading what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to like ditch high school and sit in my car and eat bagels and listen to the Howard Stern show.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because he was still on just regular radio. Yeah. I'm that old.
My dad growing up listened to a lot of like Tom Likas. Do you remember Tom Likas?
Dang, do
yeah.
I? Yeah.
He'd be like dropping me off in elementary school, like listening to the most vulgar, like manly.
Just misogynistic, yeah. Hearken to a bygone era that will never return.
Yeah.
Wow, Tom Likas. Yeah, I do remember that.
Tom raised me in some ways.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not mad at it.
I'm not mad at it, but I do think it did shape me in a way that I have to accept.
Yeah, I remember, I think my brother and I would like kind of ironically listen to him and call in sometimes and try to get on him. My brother would never get past the bouncer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember Tom Likas. Jeez.
Yeah.
I saw him actually on Hollywood Boulevard once.
I don't think, I've Googled him and I couldn't put a face to it.
The face is like, I don't know. He just had like almost like a Star Trek villain quality to him. He was in like a black trench coat, mm-hmm. dark sunglasses, like peak Hollywood Boulevard, like the Walk of Fame. And yeah, I don't know how I recognized him at the time, but yeah. Yeah, those legends.
It's funny when you, I just saw a video of some celebrity on Hollywood Boulevard, and it's funny because whenever someone's like, I'm going to LA for the first time, I'm going to Hollywood Boulevard, it's like, why? You're not going to see anyone cool.
That's
and then
right.
Sometimes you might run into Tom Likas.
And then sometimes you actually do.
Yeah.
I saw Colin Farrell near one of the Scientology buildings on Hollywood Boulevard once, so...
Are we starting a potential rumor?
No, I don't think, no. I think it just happened. That's the imprint in my mind. He was walking past it. He wasn't coming in or out of
okay.
it. Yeah. It was just like, you know, they say what you want about Scientology. They have great taste. They pick these really beautiful
gorgeous buildings.
Yeah, gorgeous buildings.
Have you been inside?
No.
I've stepped inside.
Have you really?
Yeah, and they did the test on me. Did the thing where you put the little metal. I forget what it's called.
You're like phaetons or something. Something. Some word like that.
Yeah, and so they like tested me.
How'd you test?
Well, she was like, it turns out I'm autistic. No, that's not diagnosed by Scientology. But they're like, okay, you have to like clear your mind. And then if there's a spike, they'll be like, what were you thinking about? So I'm like trying to clear my mind and I think it's clear. And she's like, there was a spike. What were you thinking about? And I'm like, nothing. She goes, you were thinking about something. There was a spike. I was like, no, wasn't thinking about anything. And she was like, it's probably the unknown that you were thinking about. I was like, you got to do a better sales pitch.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you're just like, maybe you just wanted to vape.
Yeah, I probably did. I was probably jonesing.
Yeah. You're like, that was my vape pen.
There's spike. A big, people on TikTok are really upset with Scientologists.
Why?
Because one woman is like missing, Shelley Miscavige. Oh, I don't know exactly though why they're so, they really think it's like messed up.
Yeah, I think, I only have an outsider's vague thing, but I think, isn't she like the wife of the leader?
Yeah.
And no one's seen her in
public. Maybe she just likes to, you know, do her own thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, I don't, because I'm like, well, why are you going so hard for Scientology when there's like the Joel Osteens of the world?
Yeah,
who are also
so
doing weird religious money manipulation.
I think that's like their hardest part right now is like, it's, this is probably what all religions look like within their first 100 years.
Yeah. It's tough to get a religion off the floor.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, just hang in there.
Yeah, that is tough. You gotta really sell it and believe in it.
But like, I always think like a few hundred years from now, if people just see Tom Cruise through the movies and the legends that are told through Scientology, he's gonna seem like a Christ-like figure.
Yes. I mean, yeah, it's like Jesus parted the sea and turned wine into water. And it's like our hero, our Christ, Tom Cruise, jumped out of a helicopter.
That's right. He rode a dirt bike off of a cliff.
Yes.
And then pulled his own parachute while hunting someone down.
It's I feel like that's so true.
Yeah.
There's so many allegories that you can create with the life of Tom Cruise as a religious.
Oh, absolutely. Persecuted in his time, you know, but had his devoted followers, had the stunts, definitely did his version of walking on water, like you were saying. You talking about the radio, I watched the movie Heat for the first time.
I don't know what that is.
It's like Al Pacino and Robert De Niro in L.A., criminal cop, but basically they're the same guy.
Yeah.
But there a guy sitting in a truck before a heist and a radio jingle comes on and it's like K-Earth 101, or it was either that, it was one of them, and it was like so distinct, the jingle, to growing up in LA, that it was kind of cool seeing the time capsule.
Yeah,
hearing the time capsule.
Feel like all those radio channels like really stand out, like all the jingles, like it does feel like home.
It does feel like home. Yeah. Oh, it was 102.7 KISS FM. Yeah. So when you grow up here, you grow up here, you know?
I also
and you
love.
Spend a lot of time in the car.
Is it KLC Los Angeles?
Yeah, Los Angeles. Yeah. Yeah. I think LA had the best radio jingles. Now I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, that kind of is a clean segue to
a book
that I brought. Before we get into yours, as excited as I am to hear them from you, I feel like this is a great starter because you grew up in Orange County.
Yeah.
Where?
Well, my parents were divorced. Thanks for bringing it up.
Sorry.
I grew up in Long Beach, but I went to school in Orange County. So I kind of have this Hannah Montana upbringing of like, trying not to blend in with Orange County, but that's like really where I learned things from.
Yeah.
But then trying to be like, but I have Long Beach roots.
You have Long Beach
even
roots.
Even though it's 8 minutes away.
Which is LA County. LA County.
Yeah.
It's
definitely
its own city.
Not LA.
Yeah.
It's hard because it's like, it is LA County, but I distinctly, it's so not LA because I remember when everyone got their license, driving to LA was like a big deal. Going to like Millions of Milkshakes and posting about it was like the coolest thing you could do.
Where was Millions of Milkshakes?
It was off of Santa Monica.
Okay.
Kind of like Santa Monica and Robertson.
Oh, okay.
But like Miley Cyrus had a milkshake.
Nice.
Anyone famous had a milkshake.
Yeah.
At that time.
Okay. And now there's like the Hailey Bieber smoothie at Erewhon.
Yeah.
How we grow up.
I know. History repeats itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Long Beach is LA County. You know, I'm trying to go to all 73 branches of the LA Public Library.
Could I go with you to the one that I went to growing up?
Yes, because there are a couple
El Dorado.
Yeah, so let's do that.
Yeah.
Because you don't get down to Long Beach a lot when you live up here. But my sister used to live there. I'd ride the train down sometimes. Mm-hmm. I have fond feelings about Long Beach.
Yeah.
But you're driving from Long Beach to Orange County, listening to misogynistic radio. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to Orange County and you're learning behaviors there. Well, it's why I brought specifically Steve Martin's Born Standing Up.
Yes, Orange County legend.
Exactly.
And as a Disney adult, a Disney legend.
Okay, there we go. I think he even worked at
Knott's Berry Disneyland.
Farm.
No, he worked at Disneyland.
Oh, at Disneyland.
Because they have a magic shop. For all my Disney heads out there, people who haven't been, as soon as you walk into this gorgeous theme park, the first place you go is down Main Street. Main Street, it's got all the little shops, it's got the fire department, whatever.
Yeah.
And right on the corner, on the right, is this little magic store. And so you can buy like whoopee cushions and like decks of cards and, you know, magic stuff. But they have a person working there who will do, you know, some small little card tricks or sleight of hand stuff, and they'll do magic. And Steve Martin had a job doing that. And I went in and I was like, you know, I should pay some respect to the guy who works at the magic store. And the guy in there was, he was so bad at the magic.
No
and
kidding.
I saw how it happened, which is the opposite of magic.
You figured the trick out.
I figured out that, and I just went, oh, that was great.
Good for
you.
You
know, Steve Martin used to work here.
Did you say that to him?
Probably.
Yeah.
They all know.
They
you know,
all
that's
know.
Probably the lore
yeah.
at the magic store.
Yeah. They're like, you're going to make minimum wage, but guess who else made minimum wage?
Yeah.
And it was a lot lower back then. Well, yeah, I mean, to me, him kind of starting down there with those roots and then coming up here, as I looked at my bookshelf before I came, I was like, this is Ally McCoskey, sort of.
It's such a good book.
So you've read it.
I've read it.
Yeah.
It's great.
That from the opening page, he has some great line about how he's like the most popular comedian in the world. My most persistent memory of stand-up is of my mouth being in the present and my mind being in the future. The mouth speaking the line, the body delivering the gesture, while the mind looks back, observing, analyzing, judging, worrying, and then deciding when and where and what to say, when and what to say next. Enjoyment while performing was rare. Enjoyment would have been an indulgent loss of focus that comedy cannot afford.
Do you think that's fluff where you're like, I gotta hit a word limit? Let me just make this sound way crazier than
it
is. Yeah. Because that's like beautiful, but I'm like, am I doing it wrong? Do I know how to do stand-up? My brain is like not in the past, not in the present, not in the future.
You're standing there just like having a great time with you guys.
I'm kind of enjoying it
like,
sometimes.
I might be having more fun than the audience. Oh, I think it's just his way of how he interpreted it. But yeah, that's funny. So that doesn't line up with your experience of it.
I guess if I were to like have to write a book and really like reflect on it, I'm sure that I would write some really out there kind of spiritual metaphysical, like I'd make it sound a lot cooler than
when
it is.
Really, it's like me like attention.
Yeah. Me write jokes to get laughs, to feel good about myself and others.
Yeah, well, and also probably because he wrote this long after he had done it. So in his mind, it was in the past.
Yeah.
So he was probably seeing it through that lens of, you know.
The only time I really get reflective while I'm doing stand-up is when I am doing a terrible job.
Mm.
And I'm thinking about what I just said, what happened, where I might have lost them. I'm thinking about what I'm saying next. I'm also thinking about, like, how much longer do I have?
Oh, so it's while it's happening.
Oh, then. Yeah. Oh. If I know that I'm like in my head, then I know that it's bad.
Okay. Yeah.
Because then I'm not doing.
You're not
the
feeling.
Thing.
You're not in it. You're not connected to the body and the being of it all.
And then it's kind of a messed up thing because in my head I'll go, stop being in your head. But I'm still continuing.
The spiral.
I'm carrying the conversation out.
Yeah, you're having multiple conversations
yes.
at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that heat that my body would get when I was doing stand-up and doing it poorly, that heat shame, that'll get you home, mm-hmm. and you'll still be hot. Mm-hmm. That was, my body would just get hot.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, I didn't even need to sleep under the covers that night, because I was just like, it was like almost like my skin was trying to melt off of my body because it was so embarrassed.
Yeah. I feel like I've gotten better now about, like, if I do poorly and I get that heat on, as soon as I'm off stage, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah, it's done.
No more time to.
Well, I mean, you know, I was amateur and you're in the professional ranks. It's good to hear that it does change.
Well, I feel like I used to, no matter if it was good or bad, I would just sit in it for so long, which isn't healthy in either direction.
Way. Yeah, that's
right. Because if I think I'm the best, it's like, it's only going to take one small thing to knock it down.
That's right.
And then if I think I'm the worst, it's going to take a lot to bring it back up. But either way, it's like, it's these overly heightened emotions that don't matter anymore.
That's totally it. People ask me, like, about the internet and putting stuff out. They're always like, how do you deal with the trolls, whatever? And I think the way is, like, yeah, I just don't take the compliments that personally either.
Yeah.
And then it kind of works out.
Do you get trolls on what you post?
Not as many.
I can't imagine there's, like, avid library haters or, like, just, like, positive but not in, like, an overly positive, annoying way haters.
Yeah. Yeah, once in a while. I mean, I guess the rule of the internet is, even if you put out something that's blatantly a joke, people get to debate it as though it's the reality that's been presented, and that's just hand in hand with what it is, I guess. They're going to take it literally and start walking through the fault lines of it, and you just accept it, but it is sort of... Yeah, you just accept it.
You know what your videos remind me of, or like your content reminds me of? It feels like a toned down version of Drew Barrymore going out in the rain.
Love
and just
it.
Being stoked about it.
Love it.
It feels like a tame version of that.
Okay, as long as it wasn't the magician you saw at Disneyland,
no.
I'm good.
But I did see Steve Martin and Martin Short perform not very long ago.
Oh, cool.
And it was incredible.
Yeah, two
and they're
legends.
Like very old.
Yeah,
they're
they are.
Very old men.
But they're still... Bringing the energy,
good vibe. I wasn't nervous. Sometimes when I see very old people doing anything, really, I get nervous. Like, I saw Frankie Valli from the Four Seasons. He's, like, close to 100.
Wow.
And he was performing, and it looked like an animatronic.
Were they,
and
they
you
were
notice
holding
how
him
I,
up with strings and
I
stuff?
I just noticed I said it, which is bad. Not a good sign if I'm referring to
it,
him
the
as
performance.
It. Yeah.
It, the performance, not the
no.
not the non-being that are old people.
But it was so scary the whole time. Like, it was a great show, but the whole time I'm watching Frankie Valli, I'm like, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall.
Yeah. That's how I am walking my dog past older folks. I'm just like, hey, let's give them a wide berth. I'm
just
not going to be
nervous.
The one. Yeah, me too. But Steve and Martin were... just moving, and
they were great. They were alive. They were electric.
Yeah, because like my family's favorite movie growing up was The Three Amigos. It was like our family comedy that we all quoted and loved. And they're just legends.
Yeah,
where'd you see it?
This is in Vegas.
Okay,
they performed at some theater where like typically a EDM DJ is right around the corner.
Okay,
but it was great.
Cool.
Yeah,
very fun. Well, sorry to start with books. Of my own, but it felt applicable
no,
in
it's
some
a great
way.
Book.
Okay, cool. Born Standing Up, Steve Martin. What did you bring? I'm curious.
Well, okay. I want to get into these in a sec, but the other books that I wanted to talk about, I don't have physical copies of.
Okay.
The first book I wanted, because I was thinking of like what books I enjoyed growing up, and I think like, you know, elementary school, I enjoyed a Junie B. Jones.
Okay.
That was a fun one.
Yeah.
And then I remember being in middle school or like freshman year of high school, and I don't know how I stumbled across this book, but I came across this huge book, big, thick book, and it was by this author, Ellen Hopkins. And the books are just so big, and you open it, and it's not written like a typical book where it's just like line, line, line. It's like written... to form a shape. So each page, it could have maybe five lines on it, and it, whatever. I don't know how to describe it.
No, you're doing
so
well.
It looks like a big, hefty book, but if you were to write it and format it normally, probably be a lot smaller.
Right.
But it felt, it was nice walking around school looking like I'm a genius with this giant book.
Sure.
And all her entire series of books, it's very like young adult fiction. Mm-hmm. And it's all these dark stories. Like one title is like Crank, one is Split. And all the stories are messed up. Like some kids on drugs, some kids getting like AIDS or something. Oh. Some kids like parents are divorced and someone's dead. Like it was just heavy stuff and yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
Because this was also the time of MySpace.
Right. When you get into your feelings.
Yeah. And also like My Chemical Romance. So it was just very fitting, that kind of gap in between middle school and high school and that angst.
Yeah.
So I loved those books.
And yes, so what was her name again?
Ellen Hopkins.
Ellen Hopkins. Have you gone back to read any of her stuff?
I was actually, part of me was like embarrassed because I was like, I kind of want to go back and like see if this is still entertaining. And then yeah. I was like, is it embarrassing to read like a very clearly like almost children tween book.
Yeah,
I don't mind YA.
Okay.
But this feels particularly younger
there's
than YA.
There's more Y than A.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of Y.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like Crank, Impulse, Tricks, Burned. Like I read okay. all of these okay. and they were all so good.
Yeah, that's going cutting right to the core of fear, right?
Yeah. Because like, I mean, we had to read books.
And were they cautionary tales or were they just kind of like, yeah, sometimes stuff doesn't work out.
I don't know if it was necessarily cautionary. I think I just like, I felt like other stories didn't interest me. And I still feel that way now. Like I need really intriguing stories that like keep me like what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of what's going to happen when someone's addicted to crank.
That's for sure.
So it kept me going.
Yeah.
But it was like the only book that I think I really read outside of what was assigned in school.
Yeah. Okay. So that's pretty impactful.
Yeah.
And that's what spoke to you at the time. And
yeah.
that was like kind of formative for you.
I think so. I don't know how, if it like had any sort of long-term impact. I mean, my current boyfriend is a former drug addict.
Okay.
So maybe I've kept that, you know, love of crank and...
Yeah. Was he doing crank though?
No, not particularly.
What is crank?
I don't know. I think like, it's like meth maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like they used to call it like horse was like heroin. Like
oh,
it's one
yeah.
of those quaint words.
Uh-huh.
Those early 90s dare to stay off of drugs kind of. Yeah. Words that you know like the drug users were not calling their drugs.
No, it's
crank.
Like the people who don't do it who are like, ooh, crank sounds a little bit fun.
Yeah, what if we just crank?
It's like I don't want to tell people that my uncle is addicted to meth.
That's right.
But if he's addicted to crank, maybe he's a mechanic.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, that's cool. And so then yeah. going into high school you were focused more on school and
I mean not really.
Right.
But
because you were doing stand-up when I met you, we would like sit in line in an alleyway mm-hmm. for 2 hours in Santa Monica. You were 18, right? 19?
Maybe at the end of 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you knew you were going and you weren't going the academic route.
No. Yeah, no, I don't think I really had any sort of desire to like excel in school.
Yeah.
I think I liked when I was interested in the subject and could do well, but I never was like motivated to get straight A's. I was like, I just want to do the assignments that seem interesting to
yeah,
me.
Whatever gets through and yeah. doesn't drag. I mean, I was the same way. I didn't go to college and I'm wearing my Pasadena City College sweatshirt because that was the first time I went to college. It was a few years ago during the pandemic. I took a poetry class.
Cool.
Yeah. And it was cool.
I have been thinking about that. I want to take like a history class or
nice.
Something.
Yeah.
Just because I do feel like it would be nice to know more things.
It would. And like my mom just went back to college and finished college in her 60s. And, you know, the thought is like, well, what's the career going to be for, you know, how much time and all that? And it's like, no, just like the act of learning is living. Like
yeah.
that is enriching.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be a means to an end. It's just like an enjoyable thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially as you get older and you're like, dang, I don't know a lot.
That's how I feel.
Blank spots up in here.
Yeah. I want to be able to like care. I want to be one of those people who can like, someone will mention like Balkan and I'm like, oh, the Balkan War of, you know, whatever year. And then just suddenly spit off facts.
Yeah. I was trying to, I'm taking another English class online with the same community college. And I was trying to recall what World War One was about. And I was like, I think the Duke was assassinated, was how it's, but yeah, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
And that's just like, you know, how are we going to learn from history if we can't even remember any of it?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I really need to learn from it. I'm not starting any wars, but, yeah, you know.
You could.
I could.
Okay. Do I keep going?
Yeah. I would love to, because I've never heard anything about the book you have at the top of your pile right now.
Okay. So I had quite a big gap of not reading. And then I was like, I need to just get back into it. I need to just find something that like excites me and keeps me guessing. And so I kind of started picking up some books, and I got back into my grind, so to speak. And they have this great deal at certain airports, read and return. You buy it, you read it, you return it. You get a 50% refund on your next book. So I was like, oh my God, I'm traveling so much. I'll finish a book. By the next trip, I'll get a new one. And so I'm like in the airport. Sometimes they don't have a good selection, but I saw this, which just said The Maid. And I thought it was based on that TV show with Margaret Qualley, where she plays like the maid, and she's like really poor and she's trying to like get a better life. And I was like, I love the show. Could be easy to like read the book, and maybe it adds a little bit more depth.
Yeah.
It's not this.
Okay.
Completely different story.
Totally different maid.
Not at all related whatsoever.
Cleaning a totally different house.
She's cleaning a hotel.
Okay.
So totally different structure. Yeah, it's like Monopoly. It's like house to hotel. New York Times bestseller. Aren't they all, though?
Yeah.
Aren't they kind of all?
Anything in the airport.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all, yeah, they are.
Every book is kind of a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah, I pity the book that isn't.
A dead body is one mess she can't clean up on her own. Hooked. From the jump. Whose body is it? Says Molly Gray is not like everyone else. She struggles with social skills and often misreads people's intentions. But no matter, she still throws herself with gusto into her work as a hotel maid at the 5-star Regency Grand. Her obsessive love of cleaning and proper etiquette makes her an ideal fit for the job. She delights in donning her crisp uniform each morning, stocking her cart with miniature soaps, and returning guest rooms to a state of perfection. But Molly's orderly life is upended the day she enters the suite of the infamous and wealthy Charles Black, only to find Mr. Black dead, very dead, in his bed. Perplexed by Molly's unusual behavior, the police immediately suspect her of murder. She's soon caught in a web of deception with no idea how to untangle herself. Fortunately for Molly, friends she never knew she had join her in a search for clues about what really happened to Mr. Black. But will they be able to find the real killer before it's too late?
Fun.
Fun.
Yeah.
So juicy. Fun. Such an easy
Everything
read.
You need.
The character is so likable.
She loves her job.
She loves her job.
She takes pride in, like, when you work your job, you're like, man, I'm doing this every day. She loves it.
She loves it. She's so happy to work at her job. And she has all these relationships with, you know, the people who come into the hotel. You got the regulars. You got the one-nighters.
Yeah.
It's all kinds of people. And no matter what, she's just Molly through and through.
Right.
And it is just really entertaining.
You finished it?
I finished it.
Like,
yeah.
Did you solve who did it before you got to the end?
No, I think I started to see where it was going, but even like knowing or like having a hunch, the reveal of it all was like very exciting.
Cool. You were in.
And she has another book now. This was like, I guess, you know, a hit after being on the New York Times bestseller. And so then she created a follow-up book that's kind of about like Molly's life, like her grandma is who she lives with in this book. And so I think it maybe is like about her grandma and Molly, and
nice.
It's just an easy breezy, fun murder mystery.
No, and that's what you need. It's like
great.
You said you hadn't read in a while. It's like, yeah, you don't pick up some difficult, like, I want to be smart book. You just pick up anything that grabs you, right?
You know, a book pissed me the hell off.
What?
Because this fun book,
fun
loved
book.
Every second of it.
Yeah,
I tried to get a smart book.
Uh-huh.
All these authors are going, oh, this is one of my favorite books when I don't know what to read. This book gives me so much inspiration. I'm like, if the authors say it, there's got to be some truth. The Secret History, Donna Tartt. Eat my butt. That book sucked. It dragged on for so long. There's like six main characters. Their names are all like Bunny and Floppy and Georgina. Like, how do I keep up with all the... And each one has like a full storyline. I don't know who's who.
Yeah.
I don't care at a certain point. It's like 600 pages. Could have been 300.
Oof.
Enough.
Enough. Dasher, Dancer, Donner.
Vixen. Prancer.
Oh, enough.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
I'm
Pull
over
your own
it.
Sleigh. I'm yeah. out of here. No kidding. Donna Tartt, who wrote The Goldfinch?
Yeah.
Because The Goldfinch...
And now I'm scared to read The Goldfinch.
Well, based off of your feel for that, which I haven't read, it's can kind of dovetail into some tangents and some places you don't really even care to go, but there's some like real richness at times. And then I thought the way she finished really strong, but I totally get what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, the ending
here.
And the beginning
the
were
labor...
Good.
There's yes. some labor required that like doesn't even feel like it's paying off in the direction that the story should pay off
yeah.
or something.
It's like, this is your book. You're doing the work to write it. Don't make me do any work now.
Right.
Don't make me start filling in some gaps
right.
and, you know, tying up some loose knots. That's for you.
I'm on the couch.
Yeah.
This is my relax. This is my me time.
Yeah. Piss me off.
I just got off work. Why are you making me do more?
You know what it reminded me of? The Secret History, though?
Huh.
It kind of reminded me of a mix of Saltburn
okay.
and The Holdovers. It was
okay.
like if those two movies kissed gently on the lips, that would be The Secret History.
But then like kind of didn't have chemistry or what?
I mean, I think those two movies were better than the book.
Than the book.
But
okay.
when I was reading the book, when I saw the trailers for both of those movies and watched those movies, I was
yeah.
like, oh, this is almost The Secret History. And same
That's
with the other one.
That. Yeah, there's just certain books that... can repulse us and that's okay. You
yeah.
know? You're not going to have chemistry with every book.
No.
And you know, every good author, Donna Tartt's a good author, clearly. She sold a lot of books. People like her. You know, she pushes past that mainstream thing. But yeah, it doesn't mean you have to
it's
like
not for
her.
Me.
Not for you.
Not for me.
Yeah, I felt... Who have I felt that way from? It took me a while. I finally came around to him, but I felt that way about Tom Robbins. Especially when I was like young, it was like everyone read Tom Robbins. Even
I don't know
the
who
Cowgirls
that is.
Get the Blues mm. and Still Life with Woodpecker. And then I finally found my way into him and enjoyed it. But yeah, similar. You know, it's just some people. Was the maid in that story unionized? Was she in a union?
I don't know, but everyone kind of had her back at the end,
okay.
so it felt
union
yeah,
strong.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Just a curly Q question. Because you said she lived with her grandmother, and I'm like...
Yeah, of course, you know, I think there's some sad story about her parents.
Sure.
So she lives with her nan.
Dang. Maybe they even, like, their and disappearance
the, oh,
had something to do with Mr. Black.
They're making this... into a movie.
It's called The Maid, not with
called,
Margaret Qualley.
Yeah,
though.
It's called The Maid from the novel, not the TV show that's already out.
It's called The Other Maid.
Yeah.
Cool. No, I mean, that to me is, you know, I keep repeating it on this show, like you can't read every book you want to read, but when someone tells you about it, it feels like you experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just felt that from your telling of The Maid. But it does leave me wanting to read it, and that's kind of cool.
It's such a quick read.
Yeah.
This is an airport read,
like you said.
This is how fired up I was after reading this book. I messaged the author
No
way.
I thought you
Instagram.
Were like, I cleaned my kitchen.
I booked a hotel, and I shook the maid's hand and said, thank you,
thank you.
for all you do.
Do you love your job like Molly? So you messaged the author.
I messaged the author because after I read it, I was like, this needs to be made into a movie.
Yeah.
And then I saw it's being made into a movie.
Yeah.
And then my next thought was, I need to be in the movie.
Yes.
And I was like, I feel like I could really tap into this Molly gal.
Yeah. You
when
felt
I,
the energy.
When I want to do a job, I do it well.
There we go.
Yeah. And, but it, I think.
Did you pitch yourself at all?
I think I messaged her and was like, man. If you haven't done casting on the movie. I didn't actually do that. I could probably find what I wrote. Let me see if I have it. I do this thing where sometimes I'll just message...
That's amazing.
...celebrities.
Yeah.
And it's probably embarrassing and I shouldn't do it, but...
No, I think it's great.
Okay, Nita Prose. I messaged her. I said, the maid was so good, I couldn't put it down. I was gripped by all of the characters. Thank you. I hope it gets made into a movie. But then after I sent that, I had Googled it and saw that it is being made into a movie.
And the maid is getting made.
Said, Allie, thank you. Rights were bought by Universal Pictures, so here's hoping we see it on screen someday.
She wrote you back.
She wrote me back. I mean, I think authors are a little more available.
I know. I've been followed by a few authors who I like think are really cool, and then I'll be like, oh wait, like, yeah, why wouldn't you talk to me? I don't know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah
they are. But to me no one's cooler than authors. You get followed by an author who has like 400 followers, but you've read their book, you're just like, yes,
wow.
Yeah, so she wrote you back, so now you have an open line.
I think they got Florence Pugh in the movie. I know, it's pissing me off. It's pissing me off. She's not going to play Molly as well as I could.
No, I can feel it.
Yeah, but so this was a fun read. I really like this.
Yeah,
also just a notable mention, I really like the book My Year of Rest and Relaxation by Otessa Mosfedge.
Yes.
Something.
Okay. My Year of Rest and Relaxation. What made you think of that? As you were?
Well, I was like, when I was looking at the books in physical form that I had at my house, I was debating bringing that in, but then I was like, I can't really give an explanation.
Fair.
Like, it kind of has left my mind. I roughly know what it is.
Yeah.
But it's written in a way that is very relatable to me. It's kind of apathetic and funny, but not in like an obviously funny way, just in kind of like a, oh, this is kind of like sad and dark, but it's like chill.
Yeah.
That was the vibe of the
book. Low stress.
Yeah. Low stress, but also like, yeah, I don't know how, I can't describe it. I just really enjoyed it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's it. And like the like things that, what gets left behind by the books we read, like it's still kind of interesting where you're like, I just remember this one detail for some reason. It's sticking with me. And it's like, I don't know. Why do we just remember that one detail? You know? And it's like, that detail's probably enough.
Yeah. It was also a book that I was just, after I read it, I was telling everyone, I'm like, read this.
Yeah.
Read this book.
Did you consider messaging the author?
Not on this one.
Like, are you like, I won't read a book by a dead author because I can't message them after?
No, she's alive. She wrote a book called Eileen. I think that was like her first hit, was this book Eileen.
Okay.
And it just got made into a movie, which wasn't great, but I also didn't read the book.
Yeah.
But I don't know, the movie just didn't really do anything for me.
Yeah, fair.
But I like her writing. Her writing is really like funny in a dark way.
Cool.
Yeah. Another book, which the next book also brings up kind of a discussion because I only have it on my iPad.
Okay.
I don't have it in physical form because I got an iPad to read more books.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because the physical books were just getting a little bulky.
They're taking up too much space.
Yeah. And I don't like when they get all messed up in my bag and crumpled or spilled on. And I was like, I think possibly I'll read more if I have it on an iPad.
Yeah.
So I got one for my birthday. And my friend recommended a book to me, which I would have never picked out for myself. It would have never piqued my interest. But it's this book called Circe.
Circe. Okay, I've heard of this.
It's by Madeline science fiction, Miller.
Right?
It's like Greek mythology. It's a little sci-fi, but I think it's just like Greek mythology, and it's the story of this this girl Circe, and her dad is like some big god in the Greek mythology world, and she essentially gets like banished. She gets in trouble. She gets banished away to this little island, and it's kind of the story of her journey. And I remember I was reading it over Thanksgiving weekend, and I just kept abandoning my family because I was like, I just want to finish this book. Like, I cannot put it down. And I was just shocked that it was like what I was so into.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. And so how did that affect the way you saw your friend who recommended it? Points?
It was points, but I was also very surprised that he was into it.
Oh, interesting.
But he did, because there's two books. I think there's Circe, and then there's another book that she has, and he was like this one's really good, but I think you'll like Circe because it's a little more like female driven and like girl vibes. And he was right. Okay. But now I'm nervous to read the other one because I'm like, what if I don't like it, or what if I love it and I'm addicted and I'm a recluse for a couple days?
Yeah, well, that's not the worst thing.
It's not the worst.
But the thing is, like, I've had this with a couple authors where you get to the end of everything they've written and you're like, no, like, write more.
Now I'm alone.
Yeah, I can't go back.
Yeah, you've left me out in the cold.
I can't move forward until you finish your book. Meanwhile, like, you know, they're just like hammering away at their keyboard for years trying to craft these things that you enjoy in 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Circe kind of brought me back to my old days because it's a hefty, even though it was on my iPad, I could see how many pages there were. It's kind of hefty.
Yeah.
So I would have felt real good walking around holding that.
Yeah.
Letting people know I'm not afraid.
Well, there's the advantage of the book.
Yeah.
But there's a weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you got to be willing to carry that weight.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, no, I've been talking about it because I'm riding the bus now. And it's like I have to be that much more discerning about which books I'm bringing along because mm-hmm. I'm carrying them on my back now. I'm not just throwing them into my trunk of my car. And so, yeah, sometimes a book just doesn't make the cut.
Yeah.
And it's a physical thing.
I was thinking about that on my drive over here, about you taking the bus.
Yeah.
And I was trying to put myself in those, you know, big shoes you got.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, if I took the bus, I would be so much more intentional over who I spent time with, what I agreed to do during the day. Because I would have to be more intentional with, oh, I won't have time, so I have to choose, like, you know, if I have to do 2 podcasts today.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'd kind of have to just pick one. Because right. It'd be hard to commute to both.
Yeah.
I'd be gone for most of the day.
Yeah.
So you kind of get to like really figure out who you are and where you want to go.
Yeah, doing a little bit of editorial work on your routes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's 2 buses. I don't know if that person's worth 2 buses.
I don't know if I have that many quarters.
It's Banks all on your phone today. Now.
I know, they have the app, the tap app.
Yeah, it's like pretty cool. And they never work. Sometimes they don't work. Today it didn't work. So
oh, free.
The bus was free.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I do. You have inspired me in many ways from your TikTok, but I do want to try and take the bus more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have the bus right by my place.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places I go that are straight down Sunset straight down Santa Monica.
It's kind of a relief that, yeah. I mean, if it doesn't feel that way, then yeah, there's no reason to take it. But yeah, there's times where when I had a car where I would take it, and it was just a relief to mm-hmm. not think about parking, to not think about. To me, it's like the pressure of driving. I've been in LA my whole life, Southern California pretty much my whole life, and it's just like taking a toll on my nervous system.
Yeah.
And I don't want the liability.
I also like to just picture everyone's little life, where they're going, what they're doing.
Yeah, you're in a bus, you are going with people, mm-hmm. not against them.
Mm.
And that I think is partially why public transit got discouraged in LA, is like because it's sort of a socialist mode of moving.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, the consumer mentality benefits off of us being isolated and apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, get on the bus Sunday and a guy has his pants around his ankles, you know, we're doing that together.
Yeah.
And I'm figuring that out.
Mm-hmm. Both of our pants are around our ankles.
I'm scooting up to the opposite end of the bus and giving him his privacy.
Yeah. It's like, I remember in PE in middle school, my gym teacher would say, like, you're only as fast as your slowest runner.
Mm.
I was the slowest runner. but it's kind of like that. It's like, you know, when you're on the bus, you're all in it. No one's, you're only as good as the whole.
The night I saw you riding home, there were 2 people talking to themselves, and then one of them got upset because the other one was talking to himself louder.
Mm.
And so then they started fighting, and yeah, it was just like this thing of like, well, yeah, these are the people who live here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we live among each other. And yeah, I don't know, it was like really sad to see, but it was I didn't feel apart from them. I felt like I was part of like this argument in a way.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what's my role in this? And ultimately, I decided my role was to be quiet.
Yeah.
And yeah, they worked it out.
I think it'd be so fun to be a bus driver for a day.
Right?
Just cruise around. You got a lot of power in that thing.
I'm telling you. I got a comment yesterday from a bus driver who said he saw me riding my bike and he yelled out of his bus, "Hey, I know you." And then I realized I didn't know you, but I knew of you on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like so starstruck because to me, like bus drivers, the endurance, the awareness.
Well, and the danger.
And the danger and the liability. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you have many people's lives mm-hmm. in your hands. Like that's a real deal. Way of life, mm-hmm. profession, job.
I know when you walk by the bus and all that hot heat, I always hold my breath.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't know what this air is, but it cannot be good. I'm like right directly mouth to the lip of that.
Between the heat and the fallen leaves, it stirs
yeah.
up.
Yeah,
yeah, you're just trying not to. You're just trying to protect your orifices.
Should I do my last?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm glad my mom died, Jeanette McCurdy.
Yes.
Incredible.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this one.
Incredible book. I relate. She another Orange County girl.
Okay.
Orange County girl. I think not quite similar, but fairly similar. I was a radio star at one point in my life as a child, and she was obviously a big television star on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Orange County, being driven up to auditions. Crazy cuckoo mom. Same here a little bit. My mom, I don't wish my mom was dead, but I could relate to a lot of feelings and sentiment in this book. And she writes, for someone who's not like a comedian per se, her writing in this, it's like obviously a very dark subject. The book is titled I'm Glad My Mom Died, because her mom is dead. But the way that she writes about all these like messed up things in her life is like so funny. Mm. It takes out like any sort of shame, like especially if there's things that you can relate to in this. You're like, oh my God, I'm not the only one. And yeah, it was, I couldn't put this one down either. It was like just so interesting, like her life story and where she's at now. But yeah, it was just like the humor in this was so good.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this one in, because this book was like, this really was a New York Times bestseller.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, it doesn't say that on the cover. That's how you know it sold a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say New York
she
Times.
She didn't need to let you know. She goes, it is. It is what it is. Yeah.
Go look. You'll see my name.
Uh-huh.
I'm not here to point you, but yeah. And so wait, you were a radio star? Or you were doing radio work as a child?
Yeah.
So when you said I could do radio work, this is coming from someone who knows the biz.
Yeah, someone who's been
the
in
ground
the biz,
up.
Yeah.
What radio work?
102.7 Kiss FM.
That was you?
Yeah. I was on 102.7.
You were?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I feel like we must have talked about this at
no,
some
point.
No,
because I'm a failed child actor.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so I definitely relate to the themes very specifically. I haven't read the book yet, but yeah.
You got to read it.
Okay.
You got to read all of these. Especially The Maid. You'll love it.
Yeah, I want to read The Maid.
The Maid's a fun one.
Yeah.
But yeah, we also went to the same dance studio.
Oh, really?
Briefly. I never took any classes, but I remember that she took dance at a specific studio. Yeah. It's always exciting when someone's kind of, like Austin Butler is also in Orange County.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
At my school, speaking of child actors, Taj Mowry played on the football team. And so that
Very
was like
cool.
a big deal.
Yeah.
I heard Kurt Russell, who he was a child actor like for Disney, and Walt Disney would fly him into the baseball field at Thousand Oaks High School on his helicopter so he could go to his games.
Whoa.
And not miss him. Yeah.
Very similar to my experience. The
yeah.
Kiss FM sponsored Scion boxcar would pick me up from school every Tuesday and take
Whoa.
Me to Hollywood.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And what was it for?
Kiss FM. I would just make prank phone calls.
Oh, you would?
Monday through Thursday. I would like pre-record four prank phone calls, and then they would play them throughout the week, and then people would vote on their favorite one, and they would play the top call of the week on Friday.
No way.
Yeah, so it was very, very much on like a local level of fame.
No, that's amazing.
It was very cool.
How did you get into that?
I just called in. Like,
and
I wanted.
Just said, hey, I want you to hear my crank calls.
No, I didn't even. I don't know. I was not like aware of any sort of business strategy. I just wanted to get like free concert tickets.
Yeah.
So I asked my sister if I could call it. I feel like I've told the story so much.
Sorry,
recently.
Don't.
No, it's fine. I just like, I imagine if someone like is a fan of mine and they like
they're
listen
like
to the podcast, they're
like,
this story again, and they're like picking out the parts that I leave out.
Yeah.
Or like,
they're like, wait, you didn't say that.
Yeah,
last
she's
time.
Like, I thought it was K-Rock. On the last podcast it was K-Rock.
Yeah, we don't have to get into it. It's just cool that it's like has that connective, that literal connective thread to you.
Yeah.
And your mom was there for the
she
ride
was
as
much
well.
Of a stage mom as you could be when your child is only as famous as being on the radio.
Right.
You know,
yeah, she wasn't a stage
like
she, mom
like
she
my
was
mom,
an antenna parent.
Yeah, she would she would take me to like auditions because I ended up getting like a manager or like an agent or something.
Yeah.
And so I suddenly was going on auditions. I have no idea what I don't know. I know how to read. I don't know how to act. I don't know any of the business. But I just remember my mom would drive me up, and before we would walk into the audition, she'd put lip gloss on me. That was like her bit. You gotta, you know, you gotta put lip gloss on.
Well, and
that's
the
how you really
thing
stand out as an 8-year-old.
They always feel like they're like, oh, all those stage mothers. Aren't you glad I'm not like that?
Yeah.
She's like, no, you are that.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was either, and I remember going to my first auditions and my mom being like, remember, smile, like a real smile begins in your eyes. And I'm just like, I'm not happy though. I smile if I'm not happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my second audition was for the Tim Allen movie, Jungle to Jungle. I don't know if you ever saw it. Disney movie. It was,
that would have been a game changer for
you. It was probably
you.
My biggest audition of all time was the first or second one I ever got. Mm. Yeah. And yeah.
Back when they were in person.
In person.
Yeah.
At Disney on the lot.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was kind of the fun part. You got to see a lot of weird things and explore the city that I was mostly afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't even want to get out of the car. There was just so much adulthood everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at all these adults.
I did a Hannah Montana audition.
You did?
Yeah.
Nice.
That could have been sick.
I did Hey Arnold.
Whoa, you would have been great.
I could have been Arnold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you would have been on those videos that's like, you remember this voice?
Yeah.
This is him now. Feel old.
I like crank.
Yeah.
He's now on crank. Yeah. Yeah, that was good times.
Yeah.
Well, and so Jeanette McCurdy, yeah, she made a thing of it. And it's interesting you say she writes like a comic. That's either from the fact that she has this mass performing background, or I often see it now, like people tell stories even in, you know, at your day job, like comedians, because I think that's like a format now that people use to tell stories in. And I wonder if it extends to writing. It's just kind of curious.
I think she's also friends with a lot of comics, like the forewords on this. I don't know if that's what they're called, like the quotes that people leave. It's like one's from Lena Dunham, one's from Gerard Carmichael. I think Lorraine Newman. And then I saw like, she's like friends with a lot of comic, so I wonder if she's just like a, I mean, she also, like, even though it was a Nickelodeon show, it was like a very, you know, TV comedy.
Yeah.
But yeah, the way it's written is so good.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really appreciate all of your book recommendations today, and I don't even feel like I gotta go through the rest of mine, although there's just one that I want to show you. My sister, I live in Santa Monica, and my sister just found this book published in the 70s called Trees of Santa Monica. And it's literally just the addresses to a bunch of different trees in
Whoa.
The neighborhood. Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
So are you going to just bike around and look at all
these
trees?
Yeah, and see which ones are still alive.
Yeah.
It like puts it into perspective, like, whoa, these trees aren't even all going to be here anymore.
That's so cool.
Yeah, oh. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's very cool. And like, I do love something of like history that you can actually, like, I love when a book references a street or, like, an address, and then I can look it up and be like, is this real? And what does it look like in real life?
Yeah, it's the best.
Oh, wow. This really is, like,
and I love, like, hyper-local stuff now. I like things that are so specific just to an area that are kind of mundane. But, like, when you walk your dog through that area every day, it's actually kind of fascinating to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, today the city of Santa Monica tweeted that, like, hey, don't play on the baseball fields while they're wet. It's going to mess them up for the Little League season. They need to dry. And I like retweeted it because that's kind of stuff is just like really the fiber of life. It's like kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
And it's like not the attention grabby stuff that is so intriguing to us now. Or that just comes first. We all we hear the loudest voices in our society first. We, you know, the most entertaining stories, but really, like, I don't know, I kind of like these like slowed down things. But yeah, I don't know. I've really enjoyed talking to you today.
Same.
So glad you've done this.
And now I feel smart, even though some of my choices are a little bit.
Yeah, honestly, the way you describe these books, like, I'm in.
Yeah, get in.
Okay. The Maid.
The Maid. Cersei.
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 Long Beach.
Long Beach.
Okay, and you'll visit the one of the Long Beach libraries with me. All right, let's do it. Allie Makovsky, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Turek Books. Be sure to like, subscribe, thumbs up, any kind of thing that could help us get listened to or watched by more people. We really appreciated having you and hope to see you again next week with a new guest and plenty of books. Take care until then.